शंकर भावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमा विद्विषावहै ॐ शांति शांति शांतिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, so we are on the chapter 13, right? Yeah. And then we were talking about the, is it an overestimation of the potency of devotional service? Was it the one which we discussed last? Any questions to any of the previous ones what we discussed? Hare Krishna. So next point is, can one elevate oneself simply by following the principles of Varna and Ashrama? Some scholars argue that simply by following the principles of Varna and Ashrama, one can gradually rise to the perfection reached by practicing devotional service, but this argument is not accepted by the great authorities. Lord Chaitanya also condemned this idea while he was talking with Ramananda Rai about the gradual development of devotional service. He rejected the idea of the importance of Varnashrama Dharma when it was put forward by Ramananda Rai. He said that this advancement of Varna and Ashrama is merely external. There is a higher principle. In Bhagavad Gita, also the Lord says that one has to give up all other principles of elevation and take simply to the method of Krishna consciousness. That will help one in achieving the highest perfection of life. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord himself says, one should execute the prescribed duty of Varna and Ashrama as long as he has not developed spontaneous attachment for hearing about my pastimes and activities. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:29. In other words, the prescribed form of Varna and Ashrama are ritualistic ceremonies of religion intended for economic development, sense gratification, or salvation. All of these things are recommended for persons who have not developed Krishna consciousness. In fact, all such activities are recommended in the revealed scriptures only to bring one to the point of Krishna consciousness. But one who has already developed spontaneous attachment for Krishna does not require to execute the duties prescribed in the scriptures. So, here that may seem contradictory. We were discussing before that sometimes some statements may appear contradictory. No, here Prabhupada says, no, Varnashrama Dharma, it's not required. And in other point, he stresses that we should follow Varnashrama Dharma. So what is the difference? Now the difference is that following the Varnashrama Dharma just for the Artha Kama Moksha, it's not necessary. It's a lower principle. But Srila Prabhupada encouraged Daivi Varnashrama Dharma. So what's the difference is that Daivi Varnashrama Dharma, Krishna is in center. So this is development of Krishna consciousness. Because we see, you know, even the devotees in the spiritual world, they still follow, you know, varnas and ashramas. But not for sake of following them. They do that for the sake of relationship. So if we understand, if we get the understanding of how we can execute the services such a way, so then it is for our development, so we perform devotional service and Krishna gets pleased by it, then it's beneficial. So this is the purpose of Varnashrama Dharma. Now, so just simply for following the rules and regulations, that's slower. And yes, so like you have the smarta brahmanas. They follow brahmanical culture. But for them, the ritual is everything. That's the most important. Now, they may not really know why they are doing the ritual. So that they perform yagya. What is the yagya for? Who is actually the ultimate receiver of the sacrifice? They do not know. They only perform the yagya because they want to get this benefit. So then Shastra prescribes, okay, do this yagya, you will get this benefit from doing it. So then they take the Lord as some supplier. Okay, I do this for you, you do this for me. That's not the relationship. At least it's not one of the five main rasas. But what we are trying here by devotional service to develop one of the five main rasas. So therefore, now that sort of varna and ashrama, it's not necessary. And in fact, it is an obstacle. But for somebody who is not able to even perform some pious activities, so then the Varnashrama Dharma may elevate him to the point of that he understands the taking of devotional service is beneficial. But once he takes up devotional service, he is not obliged to follow the duties of the Varna Ashrama just for sake of following. But he will not give up these if it's required or if it's beneficial for his development in his devotional service. Now I know there is one pujari in one temple, and so he does the cooking, he does the puja, and there was nobody to clean toilets. So then he understands, well, no, the place is still, it's Krishna's property, it's Krishna's place. So everything should be kept clean. And since nobody was there to clean and nobody was willing to, so then he just, even though he was grihastha and he would not live in the temple, so he would come a little earlier to the temple, put on gamsha, then cleans the toilets, takes bath, and then go on the altar. For the smartas, that will not be possible. The brahmana would not touch a broom or anything which would make him, you know, so-called dirty. But for the Vaishnava, knowing that this is something how he can offer his capability to Krishna, so then he can perform it and still he does not get contaminated. So that's the difference between, you know, ordinary Varnashram and Daivi Varnashram Dharma. Any question on that?
Use this principle to reject their conditioned nature because it's strong. accepting instruction, so how to deal with this aspect?
You see, if that's the argument, if that we will reject something just for the sake of it's lower. But what do we know about higher? How else can we offer our activity to the Lord? What is our capability? Okay, if somebody is fully Krishna conscious, now can think of Krishna 24 hours a day. So by doing these activities, chanting, reading, singing, whatever it may be, he offers himself to the Lord and he will achieve Atmanivedana. But if he is not on the platform and he is conditioned, then what is the media? How he can offer an activity or a result of the activity to the Lord? So by performing duties. So he does something which he is not expected to do. Now, how does he know how and what he is expected to do? He must belong somewhere. So then he will be put into the position of varna and ashrama. Then it's clear what he is supposed to do, because it's clearly defined. The Shastra defines. Now, the person in this varna and in this ashrama performed these duties. So then it's clear. But if we just for the sake of giving it because we don't want to do it, then what happens? It will be chaos. Then nobody follows any duties, and there's everybody that follows their own mind, which will be a problem. So we have to know. Then if we hear argument like this, then we have to see the angle which is being taken from. Why this doubt? Why this question? And generally, yes, it is that there is some avoidance of duties. And then if we hear about, authority saying that no, you should follow your duty, explaining how actually it should be, then there may be some resistance following the authority, because he is pushing me to do something which I don't want to do. And then authority would be so-called like liberal, right? So then, yes, that's great, I like it, so then he is good. But the fallacy here is what actually are we getting? A person who is always nice to us and he allows, he can do everything any way you want, I am okay, you are okay. So then we end up not at the nice place. A person who is correcting us, who takes the time to explain to us, don't do it this way, it's not good for you, I'll teach you how to do it properly, he is a real friend. But sometimes, because of our ego, we may not take it very friendly. But he is our well-wisher. I remember from my school, the teachers who were very strict with us, and they demanded that we do our work, that we do everything as it's supposed to be. So we didn't like them, because there was a lot of work, a lot of things to be done, and apparently it was like not very pleasant, because like a teenager, you don't really like to be bound too much. And the teachers kind of like who would so today maybe we will have some free time and or you can do whatever you want. And then somehow the marks were always somewhat adjusted. Then they seem to be very great. But with the time, then you actually see that What did you learn in those classes which the teachers didn't really take the time to, you know, to give you the explanation, to, you know, spend the time with you? And how much did you learn in those who the teachers were very strict? They demanded that you do your services, your duties. So then you learn how to respect, because those who were strict, they give you some knowledge. They give you the way you can realize. But those who were very lenient, then you don't get much realization from those classes. And it's not that those who were strict, just being strict, it's not good enough. The teacher must be able to explain why is he strict. He must be able to explain why do you need to know what I'm going to teach you. Because if it's just, okay, if you don't do it, I'll beat you up. So that's also being strict, but you also wouldn't like. But subjects which the teacher would explain it in various ways so then the students actually understand. So then even though they must work very hard, but still they don't take it as a great bothering. They are happy doing their duties because they understand that they are getting something from it. So this is the whole purpose of, we have to know that we are getting something out of it. Now, devotees on highest platform, what they are getting out of it? They are getting out of it the pleasure that they pleased Krishna. And they have no other business. For the gopis, not to see that Krishna is happy, that's all they want. And if they are going to suffer for it or not, that doesn't really matter. So that's their full understanding. Now, for somebody who is not on that level, then there must be some engagement, something that he does something which pleases him. But because he is a devotee, by that activity, he wants to also please Krishna. So we have to be able to see, to explain it from the Shastra, that for every level, everybody may be on different level of devotional service, but for every level, there is a way how to be engaged in the devotional service, such a way so then one progresses. And we cannot jump it over. We have to be qualified to go to the next level, and then we can embrace different practices. So like we were reading, okay, Sri Haridas Thakur. So he is Namacharya, he chants constantly the holy name. So he does not have any need or any desire to perform anything else. So, but that does not mean that he rejects it. For him, chanting of the holy name, this is his sadhana. That's his everything. So he may not be worshipping the deities. He may not be doing processes of devotional service. Why? Because he is doing one, which is the kirtanam, and shravanam and kirtanam, and that's enough. He attained perfection. He sees, he realized the name, form, quality, and pastimes of the Lord. And he is happy with the process. He is perfected it. He realized. But it does not mean that he would go and say, oh, worshipping the deities is not good. Or this process is not good. Or you should not do it. You should all chant. Srila Prabhupada also never said that. He He even encouraged devotees who would be, no, not in the temple, they would perform, no, their own, no, they would be going to work, not doing things. So he said, okay, continue doing what you are doing, just add Krishna. Just add, chant some holy name. Just maybe wake up earlier. And in the morning, just chant some holy name. By doing so, Krishna will give us intelligence and understanding how we can do, how we can perform in such a way, so then we can get more and more taste for it. So that's what we have to, you know, see. If we see that somebody argues against it, that means we have to understand that he is not on the higher level. It is the Kanishta level. And you know, for such a devotee, you know, the Shastra recommends that just has to chant the holy name and serve the Vaishnavas. How can we do that? You know, that can be done through relationships, some influence there. We cannot really enforce it, because it will not work. See, Krishna also doesn't enforce his relationship towards us, because he knows it will not work. Krishna can easily make us attached to him. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can do anything. But then, will that be true attachment? True affection? Maybe we will not see any difference, but for Krishna, there will be a difference. So he gives us all the opportunity, all the facility, everything which is there, so we can develop the relationship. Because if we are the servant, we have to initiate, we have to start. And then when we approach Krishna, then he takes that little effort and he reciprocates on it. Like you may have little child, and then father comes home, and then he just tries to bring, say, his shoes, but he's too small and it's dropping like that. So the effort, the little effort, that's what makes the difference. If he would be 10 years older, then the father would probably chastise him. What are you doing? Why are you so sloppy? But from the small boy, this the same activity, it's taken completely differently. So there is the attitude. Whatever he can do, he is trying his maximum. So on the Kanishta level, we may be able to do less. But whatever it is, we offer the activity which we know how to, and we get benefit from it. But as we progress, then we should see how can we improve? What else can we do? What can we do for the Lord? What can we do for the devotees? But then, when we are really on the higher platform, we will never speak against the lower one. Because we know it's important, the lower one is as important as the higher one. If we say, okay, now we are on the higher platform, so everybody should be here, and who is not here, so then they are just bogus. Then we don't understand anything. So we are not on higher platform. We don't understand the principles. So we have to be able to take the Shastra as it is. The Shastra is meant for everybody. everybody can find instructions in the Shastra how to elevate themselves. And then we have to be able to explain it such a way so then it's accepted and it's followed. So this is the quality of a master, Acharya. Because he lives by example, he teaches, and he is able to explain it. And not only to those on the same level, but he is able to also explain it to those on lower level. And by the explanation, those who are on the lower level, they get inspired to come to the higher level. So that's the difference. Anything else? So it's clear. Yeah, this is actually very, very important point. No, the application of that. It's daily we see that's what it's the most applied in our society today. Everybody's talking about Varna and Ashrama, but we have to know what it means. Somebody rejects. What does he mean? What's the purpose? Yes? See, what Srila Prabhupada established is that everybody follows the Brahmanic culture. As a Vaishnavas, we are considered on the Brahmanic level. So, japa, this is our duty. That's the Brahmanic duty. The cleanliness, taking bath in the morning, purifying, doing ashman, putting tilak on. No, all this is all part of Brahmanical culture. Waking up in the morning, early morning, Brahma Muhurta, following the temple program. So Brahmanas do that because this is all in mode of goodness. If you would say it on the scene from the material level. So this is the culture, the Brahminical. Now, how it's everybody may have different conditioning. So when the morning program is over, so everybody goes around and they do various duties. Somebody cleans the temple room, somebody goes and cooks, somebody goes for good distribution, somebody washes clothes, somebody goes and cleans the streets. So then, according to one's nature, so everybody is engaged. Go on the fields. No, it's. But this is on top of the Varnan Ashrama. So we are all following Brahmanical culture. Of course, I mean, if we don't get up in the morning and we don't take bath and we do not attend any program, don't chant, then it's very difficult to say that we are doing. But for those devotees who do follow the schedule as Srila Prabhupada established, so this is Brahmanical program, this is Brahmanical culture. And then the same devotees, because they are good at agriculture, after that go and engage their own mentality, their own nature in, say, agriculture, it's not a problem. So we may say, yes, oh, they are Vaishyas. Even so, what's the problem? Somebody says, oh, they are Shudras. Okay, what is the problem? Somebody will be there. No, they may lead the people, administrators. There will be some teaching and preaching. Okay, so then this is their nature, so that they engage their nature in Krishna consciousness. But they all follow the same basic culture. So then it doesn't really matter who is who that way. Because the person who is teaching, or the person who is administrating, who goes to the field, or who sweeps the street, they all do it for the one purpose, and that's to please Krishna. And so then, by the end of their life, when they perform their duties, based on their nature, they will go back to Godhead. Well, you see, there are some teachers who actually are brahmanas. They go and they do spend extra time with the children. They approach them. They see that it's their way of life. So for them, education of the children, they take it as something which it's way of their life. So yes, they are like a brahmanas. But there are teachers, and unfortunately there are more and more of those teachers nowadays, who just come, teach, take money for that, and then go away. They don't spend an extra time. They don't just do anything extra. So you can't really call those as very brahmanical. Teaching is, it's like a service. They get some maintenance, because they have to maintain their families or themselves. But if they see opportunity to teach, to explain, so they can go, beyond their capacity. And if there is something, to explain, to do extra for even one child, and that they immediately take the opportunity. That's brahmana. There are still teachers like that. Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, like we said, Brahmana, he goes and cleans toilets, right? And he takes bath and goes and does the puja. So yes, somebody may say, well, no, you are a Shudra because you are doing toilets, so you should not be on the altar. That's the fallacy which we fall into. Fire him, okay, because he does toilet. So then, therefore, he is a Shudra and there he cannot do anything else than Shudra activity. In the ordinary Varnashrama, then it will be like that. There will be fall down. Yeah? Yeah, that's with the responsibilities, the facilities come. So we cannot demand facility and take no responsibility for it. So Brahmana, yes, he may have some influence, but he doesn't execute. So he is independent in one sense, but he has not that influence that he can, influence others to do it. He will not enforce it. Kshatriya does. He enforces. But he doesn't consider himself that he may consider all the necessary details and principles. So he will not take decision without consulting Brahmana first. So the Brahmana, he may guide him, but there are no strings attached. He does not get anything out of it. Because the Brahmanas don't really get into politics that way. But the Kshatriya, he may be sided to one decision, but this decision may not be the best one. That's why he consults with the Brahmana. But when the Brahmana instructs, or he just gives counsel to the Kshatriya, that's it. I mean, for him, it ends there. If the Kshatriya takes the decision or takes something else, that's up to him. The Brahmana has no right. See, I told you should have done it like this. Or why you didn't do it. That's not his business anymore. He tells him what he knows is the best. And if he follows or not, then this is his own responsibility. So if there is something, the karma being good or bad, it goes to the Kshatriya. So the Kshatriya, his responsibility is to see that he is surrounded by Brahmanas who are qualified and then who give good ideas. And the Brahmanas, then they would always stay independent. You see, in the case of Chanakya, he was giving counsel to the Chandragupta, but he was always living in a simple hut, out of the kingdom. He would never accept any house or palace or room, anywhere in the kingdom, because as soon as he does it, he will be dependent. So then he will feel obliged to perform, to say what needs to be done, for the benefit of the one who takes care of him. Like Dronacharya. He became obliged. So therefore, so Brahmanas, they stay independent, but they don't have the power to execute the activity. The Kshatriya has, but he would consult. The Vaishyas, they do have the facility to collect the money to create not the artha, but they would be giving the taxes for what it needs for the protection, for the development and of everything, and it will be mainly for their own benefit. But they will be very strictly checked if they would go somewhere beyond their boundaries. No, like previously, if anybody, not you, coins made out of gold, and then if somebody would cheat by filing a little bit of gold on each and collecting that, then as soon as that's seen, then the person will be put into debt. Nowadays, the banks, now you put some deposit into the bank, and they make it into multiple of 10, 20, 30 times. So they create money from the thin air. That's stealing, but it's perfectly legal. So the money has no value, but it's all legalized. Why? Because the Vaishyas, this is the Vaishyas idea. How to get more profit out of the people. But there is no leader who can stop them, because the leaders themselves became the Vaishyas. So they have the same interests. So it's all about, I do this for me, for you, and then you do this for me, so then we will just help each other and ultimately exploit those who are ignorant. So true leadership is missing. And because of that, then the situation is as it is. He may not stop. He sees what is the best. Now, and again, it's based on the relationship. So as long as the king would have very respectful relationship to the Brahmana would be comfortable giving the advice. Now he may, out of relationship, ask him, why you didn't do it this way. See, you could have done it, and then you could have saved yourself from the trouble which you are in now. But he wouldn't say, see, I told you. No, that's not the relationship. Not friendly, okay. All right. Anyway, you can still fix the situation. Now, if you do it like this, then you may still fix it. But if he... Now, if there is a respect, there is a faith, then he will do it. And if he doesn't, then he may have some reasons for. And, okay, that's accepted. But if he is not going to do it because he does not respect the Brahmana, so the Brahmana should not stay there. So he will give his advice. But if it's not taken, or somebody else may give another advice, and some other Brahmana may give his angle of advice. And they all may be based on Shastra. So they all may be right. But in the given situation, one may be better than the other. It's just the qualification of the Brahmana, how much he is able to foresee, how much he can consider. So, Chanakya was very great now in the nitty, so he could foresee how people will react if the situation is made one way. So he knew by this step, no, that king will react this way, that king will react this way, because he knew the mentality of the king, he knew mentality of that one, and their relationship towards him, now how it's going to be. So he could have done it this way, because he knew what's going to happen. So that's, and it's not a magic, but it's applying the Shastra. Somebody, you know, would give another advice, and they may quote Shastra, it's based on Shastra, but maybe we'll not consider one little detail in which that particular activity will not work as good. So therefore the king must have his ministers such a way, so then he can fully trust and see that they are qualified to give the best answers. Now Akbar, he was really fond of Birbal. And then he had many other ministers, and they were very envious of him and didn't know why just him. So many times they made plots, various plots on him, how to make Akbar dislike Birbal, or how to get rid of him. Not because he was so smart, he always outsmarted the other guys. And Akbar, he many times took pleasure in that, just to show how the other ones are not smart enough. There was one incident was that there was one minister, and he wanted his son to become some courtier, being in the court, some position. But he was not fitting for the position. So then said, okay, now we need to how can we do it? What can we do? And Akbar, he wanted to show that that minister, that how Birbal actually is smart, and he cannot compare to him. I think he was exchanged with Birbal. Birbal would go, and then he would take his position. So then Akbar, he just wrote a letter, and he sent Birbal with that new to be minister into the other kingdom of his friend. A friend, whatever, some Ali. So he sent him, and then, they both went, didn't know what's in the letter, went, and just instruction was that, okay, you give this letter to the king. So then they came, they gave the letter to the king, and he was very pleasing, Birbal, and the other one, Akbar is sending, opened the letter, he read it, and then he was very, very fearful. In the letter it was, I'm sending these two people to you, and you kill them. And then the king said, okay, Akbar is sending you to me, and he's instructing me to kill you. And immediately the son just shaking, didn't know what to do. And then there was Birbal, and he said, oh, okay, yes, that's correct. So he didn't know now what's happening, what to do. So then, okay, they send them to rest. Okay, and then they decided. Okay, so what are we going to do? I said, no problem. So then, what we do it like this, that tomorrow when we go to the king, then he's going to execute us, and so I will say, okay, I will go first, and then we will, no, exactly at this time we want to be executed, I will go first, and then you argue, no, I'll go first, no, I must go first, and so that way then it happens. So thinking, okay, so then there's the time, now, okay, we will execute it. So who will go first? I'll go first. No, I'll. And then they argue, and then it was suspicious. Why do they argue? Who is going to die first? So, wait a minute, what is the purpose of why you're arguing? No, there's a secret. No, you cannot withdraw any secrets from the king. So then they say, well, it's who is going to die now at this time now, so then he will become king of this country here. So if I die now, I will become the king. Said, no, I want to be the king, so I'm going to die first. So and then the king said, no, wait a minute, nobody, no, I'm not going to risk that, now that you will become the king, so I'm not going to kill any of you. So then he sent them back to Akbar saying, sorry, I cannot do that. No, because, and he gave some reason. So then, by seeing kind of like how witty, Birbal is, he was never after, his post again. So that's the importance. That's how, we have to be able to, use the intelligence, Krishna gave us in devotional service.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare